You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today, I'm going to finish up the last half of my Friday show, actually the last about 30 minutes or so. I was expecting to go to around 7 o'clock, which on Friday, usually on Friday I have a two-hour show, but surprise, surprise, the Richland Chronicle newspaper finished early at 6 o'clock, so at that time I had to really cut it off. Unfortunately, that means I have to go back a little and kind of restate or re-summarize the situation, and that's the IRS scandal. But before I do that, there's something else related to taxes, since a lot of you are probably in the process of gathering the information and preparing your tax return, such as Matt Drudge. And if you listen to a show, I think two shows ago, I went over the fact that Matt Drudge has a website. And he usually gets millions of hits every day. Yes, that's millions of hits. Because that's where the people in the media, and that includes newspapers, television network news, as well as people on talk radio, go to see what he has as far as breaking news. And if you're not familiar with it, what I suggest to do is go to the Matt Drudge Report, type that in, .com. Actually, it's drudgereport.com, and that will give you an idea. All in essence, what it is links to breaking news stories. He's noted for giving interesting titles for a story or headlines. He usually features one story as the lead story that has, and he highlights that at the top. And then as you go across, there are three columns. The first column has the most recent stories, the second a little more dated, and the third the most dated. Usually it's about 1 to 2 days maximum in terms of stories, because it's constantly being updated with what he thinks are important news stories, and he links to articles mainly to newspapers across the world, not just in the United States, but also in Great Britain and other countries. Also occasionally has links to videos. The reason why it's important, that's at one time what the media would do, and it still does this, especially television networks. They would go to the New York Times, and that whatever the New York Times put on the front page, they would most likely report in their nightly news as one of the stories, or they might have picked two or three. Today, more and more people don't even, who care? I haven't looked at the New York Times in years, in the sense that buying the paper. Now, occasionally, I will go to a New York Times story if it's the best one out there and it's covering a story without other newspapers aren't. Usually, and that's the only time I really look at it. It's when there's a specific news story breaking and the New York Times is covering it, I will definitely read the article and usually have links to it on my own website. And for those that are new to the show, the way you listen to the show is go to my companion blog for this show, which is pronkpops.wordpress.com. Let me say that a little slower. It's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And the reason why it's WordPress, it's a WordPress blog. I have, I think, 7 blogs total. This website, however, or blog, is dedicated to the show. And what I have, I always include some of the material that I've looked at in preparing this show. That includes not only YouTube videos, but it includes newspaper articles, statistics, photographs, videos, both on the serious side and even cartoons. These last two shows, I have a bunch of cartoons that have appeared in the past that are relevant to the story I'm going to be talking about. What was in the news? And the reason why I'm mentioning Matt Drudge, he had a tweet Saturday that he just had paid his Obamacare tax. Now, I knew exactly what he was talking about. I used to be a small businessman myself, as well as almost all my clients were, and what small business owners have to do, because they run their business and they pay their taxes as an individual, they have to have estimated tax payments. And it's not just if you're filing individually, but you have to pay your taxes as you go. So every April 15th, June 15th, September 15th, December 15th, you have to file your estimated taxes. And that includes not only your personal income tax, but also other taxes, including payroll taxes. And a new tax is the Obamacare tax penalty. Now, technically, if you're the only way the IRS can collect that penalty is if you overpay and are owed some money back. In that case, they can take it. At least this is the law as it stands. But the important point is, to avoid an additional penalty, you need to be fairly accurate as to what those estimated taxes are. So he knew that he had in the earlier, probably 6 months, maybe a year ago, made a point that he was opting out of Obamacare. He was not going to buy health insurance through the exchanges, which is his right. And I recommend you do that, because you'll find that the premiums for it are sky high, and so are the deductibles. It's not a good deal. It's actually a very bad deal for young people. Now, obviously, if you're poor, you qualify for Medicaid. And if you're really not making much money, you probably could get a subsidy. But most people will not be getting subsidies and are not poor. In other words, if you're working, if you're successful and have an income, you're going to have to either buy the health insurance. And most people want to buy health insurance. I recommend you buy health insurance. I don't recommend you buy these metal plans that Obama has. The best thing to do is to buy an outstanding catastrophic care insurance, truly insurance, with a high deductible, the highest deductible you can, and then pay for the small stuff out of your pocket. And the way I like to say it, you don't buy insurance to have an oil change or to replace a small part. You buy insurance if your car is like totaled. That's why most people buy it, and you're in a wreck. Now, that the same thing applies to health insurance. You don't buy health insurance to pay for doctor visits. What you should do is have the coverage is good and it's from a reliable company that's highly rated, buy good catastrophic health insurance, and then save money in a health insurance savings account. So when you do need some medical help, you have the money in your savings account, your health HSA, your health savings account, and pay for it that way. And that's what most people should do, and the people that do it really like it. But instead, we have the federal government telling you must buy this plan. Now, the Supreme Court said, no, you can't force people to buy anything, including health insurance. However, you can tax them and said Obamacare is a tax, even though when this program was sold, the Democrats and Obama said, no, this is not a tax. It most definitely is a tax. And that's what the Supreme Court said. And it is a tax. It is a tax. There's a difference between a penalty and a tax. I'm not going to get into that. But the point was that Drudge was absolutely correct. He had to pay his estimated quarterly share of that Obama penalty. And I have. If you go to my companion blog, pops.wordpress.com, The way you listen to the show, at the very top, you'll have links to the last 40 to 50 shows. And at the very bottom of the page, you'll have links to all the shows. So when this show will be published probably sometime later this evening or tomorrow morning at noon at the latest, I'll have it up and running. Right now, I'm broadcasting on the Internet. So if you're listening on the Internet, you can listen live. But most of my audience listens to this show as a podcast. And usually what they're doing, they're searching for certain information, they run into it, click on it, and then they click and listen to the show. And that's most of my listeners. What I'm doing right now is practicing being a talk show presenter or host, because my ultimate aim is to be on commercial radio and have a nationally syndicated show on current events, primarily politics, economics, business. So I'm practicing my skills and being a broadcaster. Now, the point I want to make is, if you go to that page and scroll down, I actually have a chart that shows what the penalties are. And it's the maximum, either 1% of your taxable income, this is in 2014, or $95 per adult and $47.50 per child, maximum per per family or $285. But the point I want to emphasize, it's the maximum of. That minimum figure is just the low figure. It's the maximum. If you earn money, you're probably going to be paying 1%, and that's just for 2014. In 2015, it doubles to 2%, and in 2016, it goes up to 2.5%. Just so you understand, in 2016, the 2.5% translates, it's either 2.5% of your taxable income, or the minimum would be $695 per person. You see, it dramatically goes up, and the child would be $347.50 with a maximum, and this is the of $2,085. That's the minimum if you, depending on your income. So you got to calculate both ways. I hope I'm not losing you. The point is this: if you're a business owner, for example, which Matt Drudge is, you have to pay estimated taxes. I'm assuming he's not a corporation. So he's running his business and paying it as an individual, is paying his taxes as an individual, which many entrepreneurs, small businesses do. So he has to estimate what his tax liability is, and that's not only personal income taxes, payroll taxes, but other taxes. And there's a long list of what they are, including this penalty. So when he tweeted, "I just paid my Obamacare tax," he did. He was absolutely right. He wasn't wrong. He was doing the smart thing, although some people would debate that a little bit, because I'm not going to get into the fine point. Now, why am I even bringing this up? Well, you need to be aware of the penalties, but more importantly, what happened? You had people in the left-wing press, the Obama press, that they're out to protect Barack Obama. They're not out to really tell you the facts or doing their homework. They went after him. Oh, he's wrong. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's lying. Nonsense. Why don't you do your homework? At least when most journalists should be doing their homework, which means research it. You got a computer right in front of you. Why didn't you Google it and see what Drudge was saying? Apparently, I call it invincible ignorance. Don't confuse me with the facts. I've already made up my mind, and I'm going to protect Obama. So when there's any criticism of President Barack Obama or Obamacare, you have a knee-jerk reaction by the so-called objective press not to go after whoever says this. And because it's Drudge and he has a lot of influence as to what people are talking about, they went after him. And they were complaining about Matt Drudge, this senior White House advisor, Pfeiffer or whatever his name is. And not going to get on him, but he was complaining about Drudge. You see, President Obama is a narcissist, and narcissists are terrifically thin-skinned. They can't stand criticism. Even when they're lying, they can't stand criticism. And that's the problem. We have a president that is suffering from a severe case of narcissistic personality disorder. He is surrounded by enablers that keep him in that bubble. He cannot stand one iota of criticism. And he's getting a lot of criticism from all sides, from his left, right, and center, because he's been caught out again and again and again lying. And that's one of the problems with narcissists. They lie. They have to maintain their self-image. They put on a false face and lie to people. And the biggest one about Obamacare, you can keep your plan, you can keep your doctor, and a family of four is going to save $2,500. Hasn't worked out that way, has it? And that's just one of the lies. The most recent lie regarding the IRS was there's nothing there. It was just first he was outraged. How dare someone in the IRS do this? And then he says it was just two rogue agents in Cincinnati. Well, it's turning out it wasn't in Cincinnati, it's in Washington, D.C., and it's getting closer and closer and closer to the White House. You see, the IRS scandal is just one of several scandals, but this is one that people can identify, because what the IRS was doing was trying to shut up conservative groups, Tea Party groups, pro-life groups, pro-Israel groups. That's what they were about, by delaying giving a letter saying you qualify as a 501c4. Now, why did they go after the Tea Party? What happened in 2010? Let's move the clock back. You had a spontaneous, I won't say uprising, but a spontaneous grassroots movement spread across this country. People were outraged with the bailouts. They were outraged about massive government spending, never balancing the budget. And that was when President Obama was running these huge, massive deficits of over $1 trillion year after year after year. So the American people said, enough of this. This is out of control. And these people are mainly independents, but also former Democrats, former Republicans that came together and exercised their right of free speech and assemble and gave speeches all across this country highlighting the problem in Washington, D.C., namely government spending is out of control. And what happened in the 2010 elections? Yes, the House of Representatives that the Democratic Party controlled, a lot of Democrats lost, and as a result, the Republican gained control. That's why John Boehner is Speaker today, even though he is going after the Tea Party. You see, the Washington establishment does not like the Tea Party, does not like either libertarian or conservative groups that are pointing out the problems in Washington, D.C. with government spending. So what happened is these organizations, starting in 2010, 11, 12, and continuing today, organized and formed what's called a 501c4 organization. Now, I'm not going to go over the tax code, but that enables its so-called welfare organizations. It has nothing, it's not welfare in the sense that you're thinking. It's the general welfare of the American population or a community. So they can speak out on issues as long as it's less than 50% of their spending. And what they do is solicit from individuals as well as businesses, corporations, funds to engage in their activity. And the important point is they don't have to disclose who their contributors or donors are. And that's why the Democratic Party and the IRS went after them. It was to shut these organizations down by delaying and asking question after question after question, most of them inappropriate questions, as to what the organizations did. You see, in the past, this was never a problem. There have been 501c4 organizations for many, many years. There's a whole section of the IRS code, and I do have it. I have this on the last show's notes. I've added to that. Although I try to keep most of it in the head, I really can't. And there's some excellent cartoons. So go to my website, prankpops.wordpress.com, and at least look at the cartoons. But I have towards the bottom of the page the various types of 501c organizations, and there's a whole long list. What we're talking about are 501c4. And it's the IRS calls them civic leagues, social welfare organizations, and local associations of employees. Really, what we're talking about is 501c4 welfare organizations. And I have the IRS description on there. What they can do, for example, and this is why the Democratic Party, as well as Obama, was complaining about this. They for example, could put out commercials or ads during the election period. Now, they can't be associated with any candidate or any other party. They're doing it on their own hook, and they're doing it before an election when people are paying attention. But to do that, that costs money. So they have to solicit money from donors or contributors to their organization. And it's not just ads. It could be pamphlets. But they are exercising their right of free speech. And the point to keep in mind is, and why did this all really come to a head? And I wasn't as clear as I should have been last time. There was an organization called Citizens United that put out a movie on Hillary Clinton. And they were sued in court. It finally went to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said in the Citizens United case that this organization, a corporation, can exercise its right of free speech, and Congress cannot prohibit them from doing it. That was the issue. So it made unconstitutional that section of the what's called the McCain-Feingold Act that prohibitive certain types of speech within a window before the election. Well, that was thrown out, and as a result, corporations, businesses, as well as groups, can now exercise their right of free speech, just like the New York Times does, the Washington Post does, the Los Angeles Times does, and all newspapers across the country. Now, President Obama has tried to demonize it, and so has the left, and so has the media. It's utter nonsense to say that these are shadowy organizations, maybe funded by foreigners. Please, see, what they're trying to do is shut up, muffle these conservative groups, libertarian groups, limited government groups, Tea Party groups, pro-life groups. And what they did is, when these organizations, and there are over 100 of them, that applied for a 501c4 exemption, and technically they don't have to do that, and that's a fine point, but most of them do, because usually in the past they would get it. It was rather pro forma. This time, however, the powers that be at the IRS, mostly Democrats, they're only really, this is important. When this first broke, it was blamed on so-called two rogue agents in the Cincinnati office. Now, why Cincinnati? Cincinnati is where the tax-exempt organization division is, and they're responsible for example, issuing these letters. And there are a whole bunch of different types of 501c organizations. I'm not going to get into them, but because the only relevant one here is the 501c4 welfare organization. And those are the ones that were targeted. Anyone that had Tea Party in their name, or conservative, libertarian, patriot, pro-life, pro-Israel, they were given special treatment. They were delayed and delayed and delayed, and even when they finally got to them, they started to ask a long list of questions. They wanted to know who their donors are. Under law, they're not required to disclose that. Only there's another type of organization called a 527. In the last show, I forgot the number, but it's a 527. Under a 527 organizations, they're both tax exempt. You need to understand that. But a 527 is more politically oriented, and because of that, they have to disclose their donors. That's why a lot of people organize as a 501c4. That's the law, folks. If you don't like the law, change the law. It's that simple. And the Democrats don't like it because they don't want people to be exercising their right of free speech and organizing and leveraging those funds to get the word out. They're trying to shut Tea Party groups, conservative groups, libertarian groups, pro-life groups, pro-Israel groups up by delaying, delaying, and delaying the issuance of these 501c4 letters. Now, here's a point. You don't have to get, and this is where I think the IRS is making a mistake. People right now, up until this happened, you know, they were told by the CPAs, go get it. You have a letter in the file, and in your asking for funds, you could say we have an IRS 501c4 exemption. But you don't need to get it. And in the future, I think that's what all these groups are not going to do. They're not going to go through the IRS. Screw them. They're not going to go through the IRS because of what the Democratic Party did. And this scandal is inching closer and closer and closer to the White House. We already have on the record that the IRS commissioner, since retired, went to the White House, I believe it's 170 times. And he was questioned, well, why'd you go? And he jokingly said, Easter egg hunt, ha, 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 real funny. Didn't go over very good. And the reason why, just think about it. Do you think a IRS employee in the Cincinnati office is going to do this on their own hook? No. They're only going to do it if they have orders from Washington, D.C. And the person that really committed crimes is Lois Lerner. That's why she took the Fifth Amendment. She knows she might be going to jail. So she's going to have to make a decision fairly quickly. Do I spill the beans and tell what I know, or hopefully not be prosecuted? Now, what is the president trying to do, as well as the attorney general? See, the FBI was supposed to investigate this, was supposed to investigate it. But you have literally over 100 of these groups never contacted by the FBI. You see, if there's a crime committed, you usually go to the victim and ask them the details. The FBI didn't do that. It should have, but they didn't do it. It was a phony investigation by the FBI. They're going through the motions. And by law, there are grounds that a special prosecutor should be appointed. The president doesn't want to do that, neither does the attorney general. So they appointed someone, a Department of Justice employee that gave campaign contributions. I think $6,000 is the number I'm hearing. And she was appointed to investigate this. They're going through the motion, folks. They should have a special prosecutor appointed. Why aren't they doing? That's what happened in the Nixon situation. And Nixon ended up firing the special prosecutor, special counsel, as well as firing the attorney general when the attorney general, Richardson, refused to fire the special prosecutor or counsel. So Obama is voiding that by not appointing one, even though under that statute authorizing that, the conditions are met for doing it. And that's what should happen. And that's what Republicans should be pounding the table for. You see, they're stonewalling. They're doing exactly what Nixon did. First, they said it was rogue agents. Now Obama's saying there's nothing there. How would you know? The FBI apparently has not done its job. Neither is the Justice Department. And when Darrell Issa, the Oversight Committee, chairman of the Oversight Committee in the House, goes after him and requests certain documents, what he gets back are pages totally blacked out. They're hiding the scandal. They're stonewalling the scandal. And who's not reporting it? The press. That's why I'm linking what happened to Drudge with this story. The press is largely in the tank for Barack Obama. They're protecting him big time. Now, not everyone in the press, but the major networks and newspapers are. This is a major scandal, and the American people don't like this. They don't like the IRS going after people and their businesses for political reasons. This ultimately, I think, is going to be one of the counts of an impeachment of the President Obama. Now, it's not going to happen now. It most likely will happen, though, the last 2 years of the Obama administration, because we already have information on the record that the general counsel of the IRS, which is one of two political appointees at the IRS, namely the IRS commissioner and the general counsel, are the only two political appointees at the IRS. Remember, the IRS is under the Department of Treasury, which is headed by the Treasury Secretary, which is also a political appointee. This is poison, folks. And they want this scandal to be brushed aside. Now, there are a lot of scandals. We have I actually think the Benghazi scandal is a worse scandal. But this is one, the IRS scandal is one every American can identify. There's no love between the American people and the IRS. And if they believe, and I believe that they are, that the IRS has been politicized at the top through the White House, through the commissioner and the general counsel's office, there will be hell to pay. And I think this will be breaking in the next 6 months as we head to 6-7 months as we head towards the what I call the NOAA November election. And my advice for these groups is just go ahead and solicit the money. Don't wait for the exemption letter. You don't have to. It helps you, but you don't have to, because you see what they did. They put you in limbo. They didn't say yes or no. See, if the IRS says no, you don't qualify as a 501c4, what can you do? You can appeal it to the courts. You can take it to the courts. You can appeal it within the IRS and then to the courts. But a better approach is just go ahead and do it. But I would seek legal counsel as well as tax counsel in that area. But my understanding, you can do it without a letter from the IRS. Yes, in the past, it's better to do that, but we've seen what the Democratic Party and the political appointees have done to the IRS. People are going to be going to jail, and they should be thrown in jail. Now, they're going to be tried. Evidence will be presented, because they shouldn't be targeting anybody for their political beliefs. This is an attempt to infringe your right and my right to free speech and to also association with other people of like-minded concerns and getting our message out. And Obama is really lying about this, saying there's not a smidgen of evidence of criminal activity. Nonsense. Total rubbish. Another one of many, 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 many lies of President Barack Obama. Just one of many. You know, he first, and he also said it was a phony scandal. Not only the IRS one, but Benghazi, the Department of Justice listening on Associated Press conversations, as well as going after Fox News. See, we have a president and people that surround him that can't stand being criticized. They don't want an open discussion of the issues. They want really a press that is compliant and propagates or propagandizes the big lie. That's why you saw the left in the press go after Drudge. And if they had spent 5 to 10 minutes just checking it out, they would know that Drudge is absolutely right. Or talk to anyone that owns a business. They will tell you this. You see, most of these reporters, they're really propagandists. They work for an employer. They never have to do this. Why? What does the employer do? He withholds taxes. You know, I've worked on my own as well as work for other people. And what the employer does every payday, could be weekly, biweekly, you know, every 2 weeks, every month, you get a paycheck and there's a lot of deductions. Your gross, you start out with a gross figure and then your payroll taxes, your estimated income taxes are taken out as well as other things. Well, if you don't work for someone, if you're an individual business owner, you have to pay your taxes, and the way you do that is quarterly you file your estimated tax liability. You see, the problem many businesses have is they really don't know what that is. That's not necessarily easy, especially when your revenues fluctuate. You know, let's say you're on commission. Well, if you have a bad month or two or three, you might owe very little, if any, taxes. However, you might have a month where it's huge. So that's why monthly, every quarter, is going to vary. You can't just go by what you paid last year. Because hopefully, if you're successful, you're going to earn a lot more money, which means more taxes, both personal income tax as well as payroll taxes. So Matt Drudge was completely right. The leftists in the media, the Obama media, were wrong. But what did you expect? They went after Drudge. They thought this was the perfect opportunity to take a shot, to make their bones, to show their compadres, hey, we finally got the guy. Let's try to beat him down. Say he's lying. Well, they were caught out. He wasn't lying. He was telling the truth. And the truth hurts when it comes to President Obama and Obamacare. It was President Obama that warned us that people will be saying he's acting like a tyrant. Mr. President, you're acting like a tyrant. The truth hurts. You're changing laws, and that is not your function. It's not your function. And that will be an impeachable offense. So keep it up, because I think in the next, if, and it's a big if the Senate is taken over by the Republicans, and I said it before that the Republicans may, and this is not a sure thing, could have as many as 57 senators be Republicans starting next year. In other words, they could pick up 11 Senate seats. Now, it's too early to say that's going to happen. A lot can happen between now and November. But right now, that is a very distinct possibility. That's the best case. I think the Republicans will get back control of the Senate. It might not be with 57 seats. The last time this has happened where the Republicans picked up 11 Senate seats was in the 1946 election. And I think we're going to have somewhat of a replay of the midterm 1946 election, where what happened, for the first time in many years, the Democrats got back control of both the House and the Senate. Right now they have the House. I think they're going to keep the House and maybe pick up a few seats there, not many, but a few, and they're going to also get control of the Senate. We need that to happen. That's the first step to repealing Obamacare. But we have a president that is acting like a tyrant, a tyranny, trying to take your freedom away by arbitrarily changing laws and refusing to enforce laws. Immigration laws, drug laws, and the Obamacare law. You see, if you don't like the law, what you do is you propose changes in the law and have your own party in the House and the Senate propose it. That's the proper way. It's not by pen or telephone conversations changing the law and announcing at a press conference. The American people can identify with what the IRS did, and they're not happy about it, especially this time of year. They're very sensitive on this issue, and that's one of the reasons I'm bringing it up. Now, there's a bigger point to be made. I call it a teachable moment. What's the problem and how to avoid it? We have an income tax system that, frankly, no one understands, is way too complex. Last time I checked, over 70,000 pages in terms of the code and the regulations. Even the IRS doesn't understand the code, and they write it, and they have lawyers to do it, interpret it. It's way too complex. This is a system that was invented 100 years ago. It should be totally replaced and should be replaced by a broad-based consumption tax, that you would pay your taxes as you buy new, I emphasize new, goods and services. You're doing that now. Most people don't understand that. But buried in the price of everything you buy, are federal income taxes and payroll taxes. I always use the example, and I'll use it again. For example, let's say you go into your grocery store and you buy a loaf of bread for $1. Now, that is cheap bread. A lot of bread today is $1.40, $1.50, $1.60. I'm talking a standard either wheat or white bread, $1. Some places you can get a little cheaper, but that's sort of the going rate, 99 cents, but I'm keep it simple, $1. In that $1 price is approximately 23 cents of that $1 is what? Income taxes as well as payroll tax. You're paying for it. And why? Because the business owner had to pay those taxes. So did the individual. So the cost of doing business includes taxes. And the way he makes that money back is to charge a price that includes the taxes, as well as all the other business costs. 77 cents are for the cost of doing business, transportation, manufacturing, labor, you name it. Now, the way I'm recommending is we have what I call a fair tax less system. It's a consumption tax. Is that the tax be collected by retail stores, your Walmart, your Kroger's, all your major stores that sell new goods and services. They send to the government not 23%, but 20% of that price. In other words, at a $1 loaf of bread, they would send 20 cents to the federal government, probably on a weekly basis. They could do it daily, but weekly would do that, or monthly. That's a detail. The point is, the more money you earn and the more money you spend, you're going to pay your taxes. No more tax returns, no need for the IRS. Yes, you're going to need a small bureau in the Department of the Treasury making sure the businesses send in the money. But there be no more tax returns, no more Internal Revenue Code. The code will be very, very, actually, what I'm recommending would replace all federal income taxes. And that includes capital gains, gift taxes, inheritance taxes, estate taxes. And you wouldn't be paying taxes on your investments. You would pay taxes when you buy or consume a new good or services, not an old one. So when you sell your house, there'd be no tax on that. It's only if you buy a new house would you be paying a tax on it because it's a new good or service. Now, one objection to this type of broad-based consumption tax where there are no need for anybody to fill out a tax return, either the businesses or individuals. That immediately would save somewhere between $300 to $500 billion of cost that businesses incur, individuals incur, you incur every year filling out your returns. That's a fancy way for the time and money spent on sending in your IRS returns. There wouldn't be any anymore. None. And the other benefit is whatever your gross pay is, that will be your net pay. Because nothing will be taken out of your paycheck for income taxes or payroll taxes. Now, when people hear that, the major objection to it is, well, wait a minute, this punishes people in low income. It's a regressive tax. And it is. So what I recommend is you, every individual, every month would get a $500 check, or it could be a credit to their account. Every individual, every child. What's that for? That's the tax on the necessities of life. The way you avoid the progressive impact on low income is you don't tax the necessities of life. But the way to handle that is you'll get a rebate of your taxes every month to the tune of $500. And that $500 is to pay the taxes on the goods and services, namely your food, your clothing, your shelter, transportation, that you have to pay. Because you're going to be buying food, gasoline, auto repairs, clothing, and renting. And you're going to be paying 20% tax on that. So you'll be getting $500 back to compensate you for the taxes on the necessities of life. Now, if you want to spend more money, you can, but you're going to be spending, you're going to be paying, everyone will be paying, this is why it's fair, 20%. And that's already in the price of these goods. This tax would replace all those taxes. Capital gains, alternative minimum tax, gift taxes, estate taxes, payroll taxes, such as Social Security, Medicare, as well as personal income taxes and corporate income taxes and taxes on dividend. All that would be abolished. We would go from an income tax with all the complexity and all the code to a broad-based consumption tax that you pay for when you consume new goods and services. That is what should be done. And then you don't have the problem of the IRS playing these political games. The IRS would shrink in size. I would do away with it and rename, have another office, call it the Office of Revenue Collections. And it would get that money from the various retail stores where you go and buy your goods and services. And there would be no more April 15th. There would be no more tax returns. There would be no more deductions from your payroll, your check you get every month. Your gross would be your net. Now, this is not an original idea with me. I've made some minor changes to it because we have an organization called the Fair Tax that has been advocating this, but they made a mistake. They made it revenue neutral. The problem is the federal government is out of control, and the only way to get them back into control is to cut their budget, to cut the revenues they get, and make them live within the means. And the other thing I would add to this, the federal government can only spend what it collects in consumption taxes, this fair tax, less tax, that it got last year. I'd actually make it a little, make it say they can only spend 95% and use the other 5% to start paying down the national debt and our unfunded liabilities. That's what should be done, and that should be advocated. Do you hear many Republicans or Democrats advocating? There are some, but very few. You see, we have in Washington, D.C., a ruling elite, an establishment, both Democrats and Republicans, that they don't want change. They want the status quo, even though it's an absolute abomination. No one wants Obamacare. Let me back up. The majority of people want Obamacare repeal. The majority of people want lower tax rates. And we need lower tax rates to have an economic recovery. And the big advantage of a fair tax less, it encourages savings, which encourages also investment. So business owners can expand their operations. Capital would be attracted to the United States. And then we wouldn't have these IRS scandals. We wouldn't have the Obamacare tax penalty. That's what we should be talking about instead of this nonsense with the IRS scandals. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Thank you for listening, and now back to the music.